Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, a global EV sales surge is predicted for 2024. The electric Range Rover is pictured and the Ford e-Transit gets upgraded. Plus, stay tuned because later in the show, I'll tell you what the big milestone Tesla is celebrating in China. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you are in the world, EV News Daily is your trusted source of EV information. I'm Martin Lee and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Now, we'll get into the news about this International Energy Agency report about global EV sales, where they're selling well, where they are predicted to sell well in 2024. The International Energy Agency's report came out today. Honestly, it's very comprehensive with a lot of data points inside, looking historically, but also looking forward as well across, like I say, the global EV market. The IEA predicts a record 17 million EV sales this year. That is electric sales and plug-in hybrid sales. 17 million cars with plug sockets on the side of them will be sold in 2024. That is a 20% increase on 2023. So when you see these headlines around about EV sales, and they might be alongside words like declining and things like that, the growth rate is not as fast as it has been in the past because of supply and demand issues, because of interest rates going up globally, car financing, things like that. But also, it's nuanced. It's certain parts of the world. And many of those articles are written from the US perspective, where there is a slowdown in the growth, but not a slowdown in EV adoption. Because globally, it's a 20% increase. Now, how do we do last year? Well, BEVs, battery electric vehicles, were 18% of all cars sold last year in 2023, up from 14% in 2022. It's a 35% year-on-year increase. So that's the growth. 35% previous 2 years, 20%. This year on last year. So that's where the headlines come from, but it's not a slowdown in EV sales. It's a slowdown in what was a very big growth rate. You get that. Electric vehicles will reach price parity with petrol cars in all segments at all price points in 2030, in just 6 years' time, according to this report. But hey, look, you and I know that according to models, according to finance deals, monthly deals, stuff like that, you can even get cheaper EVs like for like than the combustion stuff. In certain cases, right now. That's happening now. Despite some market slowdowns, the IEA anticipates a new phase of growth in the global EV market. Now that the market has stabilized, supply and demand has worked itself out. IEA suggests half of global car sales will be full electric in 2035 if the world continues under its current policies. So again, people are losing their mind about, you know, I love my diesel and oh, I don't want to, don't nobody take my diesel truck away. You'll come and have to wrestle it off me. Firstly, no one's taking your combustion vehicles away. And also, even by 2035, half of global car sales will be pure electric under current policies. That is not pure electric globally. There's many parts of the world which will lag. Some parts will be ahead. But if the world and its policymakers meets the energy and climate commitments that are being talked about, it could well be two-thirds. So 66% will be full electric. Now, we know that Norway leads in the electric vehicle adoption, with 80% of new cars sold in 2023 being fully electric. It's 90%+ with plug-in hybrids in there as well. The UK emerged as Europe's largest EV market last year. I've mentioned that recently on the podcast. Well, last year, there was a surge in global sales, as I mentioned, 14 million units last year, part of that 35% growth. But this year's 20% growth is still very big. The rest of the car industry would kill for that. China will see EV sales of 10 million this year. That's going to be 45% of all new car sales in the country will be with a plug socket on, or as they say, NEV, new energy vehicle. It's electrics, it's plug-ins, and it's hydrogen, but there's none of those for sale. In the United States, one in nine cars will be electric this year. So it's just tipping over 10%. In Europe, it'll be one in four cars sold. So 25% of our market will be EVs, despite challenges such as the current slowdown because of subsidy phase-outs in some parts, like Germany, which is the biggest car market in, was the biggest EV market in Europe. Now it's the UK. The IEA remains optimistic about the growth of EVs, suggesting a new phase of EV expansion is about to start. The executive director there, Faith Birrell, said, and I quote, "Under today's policy settings, the rapid uptake of EVs could eliminate the need for over 10 million barrels of oil per day by 2035. Well, she also emphasised the importance of enhancing EV affordability and ensuring sufficient public charging infrastructure to match sales growth. Pop a link in the show notes if you'd like to read more about that very extensive study. Let's talk about vehicles now, and a new vehicle. Always like to talk about new cars, and this is from the Smart brand, which we are all going to have to get our head around is no longer small little city cars, quirky like the Smart 4.2 and the Smart 4.4. It's being reinvented, and it's much bigger segment cars now. The Smart, I think I meant to say hashtag 5, not Smart number 5, but or even Smart 5. Smart hashtag 5. I'm wincing as I say that because it's terrible. The Smart hashtag 5 has been unveiled at the Beijing Auto Show this week, signalling a shift towards a more mainstream and larger market segment. Featuring off-road equipment, this concept they showed off had a winch and roof-mounted light bar alongside some futuristic design elements like unique headlights and no exterior door handles. It'll be their most spacious vehicle yet. The hashtag 5 concept offers room for four passengers, with all of their each having their own individual seat with a large center console, OLED screens integrated into the dashboard. No technical specifics because, like I say, this was a look at what's to come from the brand, but they said it'll have a 100 kilowatt hour battery pack, 800 volt architecture, range of 340 miles or so. Smart plans to introduce the production version of the hashtag 5. We'll get to see what it looks like in reality in the second half of this year. Made in China, probably not for sale in the US, but I would imagine China and Europe. Let's talk a very important vehicle to go electric, because it's one of those last vehicles which they've been saying for a long time, oh, it's really hard to go electric for big vehicles. Well, Tesla did it with the Model X. Kia do it with the EV9, but Range Rover, Jaguar Land Rover, Range Rover saying for a long time, oh, we can't really make the Range Rover electric because it's really hard to do it. Yeah, I mean, it's hard, but it's very possible. And they are. Range Rover's first electric SUV has been unveiled. Not an official unveiling, but more like the first images have been published of the fully electric off-roader, showcasing Jaguar Land Rover's interpretation of the iconic vehicle, the Range Rover. Strong demand is anticipated for the all-electric Range Rover. Many people want to buy these as business vehicles, where here we have a huge business incentive to drive zero-emissions vehicles. Lots of personal retail buyers also just want a zero-emission Range Rover. The brand continues to experience growth. Range Rover Sport particularly and the Range Rover models are growing. The upcoming electric version has over 16,000 people on the wait list for more information. So serious people who are looking for more information on it, say Range Rover. So they feel that it's a robust interest in the vehicle. That follows record quarterly wholesale numbers. Now, the electric off-roader is currently undergoing rigorous testing in extreme weather conditions in Sweden, down to minus 40 degrees in the Arctic Circle, done their hot weather testing already in the Middle East, that's 50 degrees Celsius, and Range Rover's new electric propulsion system with the new electric drive units, in-house assembly of the battery and EDUs will enhance performance, they say, on all the various surfaces that a Range Rover simply has to perform, like we talked about the G-Wagon on the podcast as well. That is another vehicle that simply has to perform off-road. Many of them won't ever even get a little bit muddy because they'll be doing the school run. But they have to have off-road chops. The electric Range Rover will obviously also have to offer luxury, refinement, silence, like an off-roading Rolls-Royce, promising smooth and relaxed journeys, but also having unparalleled capability. The vehicle's traction control setup will distribute the wheel slip management to each EDU on the front and the rear axle, reducing torque reaction time from 100 milliseconds to as little as 1 millisecond by moving to electric propulsion. So I've said this so many times on the podcast, moving to EV is just better, unless you really get your kicks from the noise of burning stuff. And some people do, and that's fine, that's their thing. But really, if you just want the most capable vehicle, and I'm talking the fastest, the most refined, the quietest, the best off-road, because you've got minute detail over each control over each motor, electric is always the answer, every single time. Range Rover claims the new off-roader will navigate through 850 millimetres, so 85 centimetres or 33.5 inches of water, potentially surpassing the capability of even things like the Hummer EV, which can wade pretty deep. Following the introduction of the electric Range Rover, they plan to launch two smaller electric SUV models, possibly based on the Evoque and the Velar, with additional electric vehicles scheduled for release in 2026. What do you think about the electric Range Rover. What do you think it's got to come with in order to meet all the specs that those buyers demand of that vehicle? Will the buyers of that vehicle make the transition to electric? Well, Range Rover says they're confident they think they will find an audience, just like, I think, you know, Rolls-Royce. When they eventually went electric with the Spectre, I think they were perhaps surprised. I don't know that, but from what I can read between the lines, at the level of interest, and obviously there's a 3 or 5 year waiting list for that electric vehicle now. They just can't make enough of them. Their buyers just want clean, green power, never having to go or having to get, you know, the help to go and get petrol. And they can just cruise around the Riviera in their electric Range Rover, electric Rolls-Royce rather, that they've charged at home. I think the Range Rover will be the same, but I'd love to get your thoughts. Right, we'll take a quick break. Hit that skip forward button. Am I meant to say that? Probably not. Right, skip forward and I'll join you on the other side. I've got some brilliant electric vehicle news to get to. Oh, welcome back. Now we'll talk. By the way, I should mention, if you'd like to get your podcasts first and ad-free, you can get your ad-free feed. It's just the RSS link that you copy and paste into your own podcast app, however you listen to this podcast, by being one of the Patreon legends. Get on the legends list by going to patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. I'm really behind on saying thank you to new patrons, but a couple of weeks behind on saying thank you to our new producers, executive producers, new partner joined up as well from down under. And so I'll get to those in the next couple of days. Thank you for your patience. Right, let's talk about the Ford E-Transit, upgraded with a bigger battery, more range. Ford's electric Transit, incredibly popular here, certainly in the UK. We haven't got truck culture, but we have white van man culture. White van's really popular. If you're a tradie, to use Aussie language, then, you know, we haven't got trucks or utes, but we are all about white vans. Probably because the weather is, it just rains all year. So trucks, you know, you always have to have a hard cover. I mean, there is the odd truck around, don't get me wrong. But if you want a working vehicle, you're going to get a van. Now, they've been made here in Europe since 2022, the electric version of the Transit, the legendary Transit. And it now gets an upgrade after a couple of years with a bigger battery and a WLTP range of 402 kilometres now. 89 kilowatt hour battery with a 28% increase in range compared to the previous model, along with a heat pump for improved efficiency. Charging capabilities also getting better as well. 22 kilowatt AC charging is capable, it says. That might mean that it's an optional, double check on that, rather than standard. But DC fast charging of 180 kilowatts. 10 to 80% charge. Thank you, Ford, for giving us 10 to 80. We always want 10 to 80 in 28 minutes. And that's very, very doable on a lunch break, a half hour lunch break. And if you're using that as a working vehicle and you're going to DC fast charge it from 10 to 80 and then do an afternoon's work, like, that is enormously capable. It's very fast charging, and well done Ford for giving us such a good van. There's going to be an extended range E-Transit in 19 different variants as well, with various different body styles and payloads. So payloads from 3,000 or 3,500 kilograms up to 4,250 kilograms. Whether you need flexibility, commercial customers need various different body styles, you can get it in those. The E-Transit still comes with two motors, so if you just whatever you need, it's a working vehicle. It's head over heart, isn't it? It's bottom line over anything else. It's the cash. 135 kilowatt motor or 198 kilowatt motor, and they say that by giving it a bigger battery and more range, it extends the customer base. With Ford Pro, that's the commercial bit of Ford, emphasizing the importance of high productivity electric fleets around the world, providing a wide range of solutions. Now, this vehicle is made in Turkey at Ford Otosan. It's the production hub for the E-Transit, and that is, I think, going into production now. Let's talk batteries and Samsung SDI presenting some innovative technologies at this EV or EVS37. It's the symposium in Seoul, and they're talking about solid state batteries and rapid charging as well. EVS37, held in Seoul, is showcasing cutting edge technologies from the domestic and others as well, the battery makers. One of those, of course, being Samsung SDI. Now, they have shown off, they're all solid state batteries, talking about the high energy density and low fire risk, and how the time or the roadmap, the timetable, says mass production will begin 2027. But, you know, we've talked solid state batteries for many, many years on this podcast. The company also wants to introduce ultra-fast charging systems capable of charging batteries 10 to 80% in 9 minutes. And they say that those cells are probably 2 years away with, oh, they're there now, but commercial production in 2026. Samsung SDI sets a goal to produce batteries with a lifespan of 20 years by the end of the decade, which they say is industry leading. The CEO of Samsung SDI confirming their commitment to be a pioneer in the global EV market with their own advanced technologies. Now let's talk about a brilliant little idea coming from Rivian. Now Rivian's offering discounts of up to $5,000. That's not insignificant. It's a big chunk of change. Get $5,000 off a brand new Rivian with a year of free charging if you will exchange your old truck or SUV that has a combustion engine. So this isn't looking for conquest buyers from other brands in the EV space. This is looking for people who have a dirty old truck or dirty old SUV and want to get it off the road. A promotion starts today, April 22nd, and is focused on popular models like the Ford F-150, Toyota Tacoma, Jeep Wrangler, you would think in there as well. It's called the Electric Upgrade Offer, and it offers discounts on the R1T and the R1S as well. New customers, amidst a softening demand, like I mentioned earlier, certainly in the US for premium EVs, eligible trade-in vehicles from the likes of Ford and Toyota, like I say, from 2018 or newer. There's specific discounts for Audis and BMWs as well. Customers interested in leasing or purchasing a Rivian vehicle have to take delivery by June 30th to get this big old discount. And of course, you get that free charging as well. The Rivian Charging Network, a Rivian Adventure Network, the RAN, I should call it, has 433 fast chargers at 71 stations in various states. And there's some level 2 chargers, waypoints, loads of those, almost 500 of those, I think, now floating around as well. Right, let's talk three more stories, including that big milestone that Tesla China is celebrating. Stick around for that story. Now, let's talk a little bit about Tesla's US marketing team, including the design studio in Hawthorne, affected by recent layoffs, part of the move to streamline operations at Tesla. They were the so-called growth content team, and they'd just been formed only weeks ago. Significant hiring was taking place. Senior manager Alex Ingram was leading about 40 people in that team, and they were all impacted by the job cuts. Elon Musk talking recently on his social Network X about how they're going to be trying out some advertising, creating some video and social media content, and the team tasked with doing that have now all been let go. The CEO, Elon Musk, expressing dissatisfaction by saying that the nature of the work they were producing was, and I quote, generic. Okay. Despite previous approval of advertising by the CEO, Tesla underwent its largest layoff by volume, including these marketing folk, but generally the company saw over 10% of the staff leave. In some departments, more like 20% around the world as well. China affected, Berlin affected. You can't do those kind of layoffs in Berlin. Obviously, it's Germany, it's different labor laws over here in Europe. But, you know, those non-contracted part-time workers or those on, you know, even daily contracts might not have those contracts renewed. And they can also, you know, ask people for voluntary redundancy or early retirement, things like that. But it's not like the US where you can just tell people who are turning up to work that day, you don't work here anymore. That doesn't, not the way it happens over here. I'm kind of pleased to say, mind you, our wages are a bit lower than US wages. So, you know, swings and roundabouts and all that. Well, Elon Musk has been hinting at the need for reorganization for some time and to streamline Tesla. He says he's going to be a wartime CEO. Okay. As they pivot the company away from selling vehicles and move it towards being an AI robo-taxi company. Well, there's plenty of buzzwords in that sentence. The recent restructuring has raised concerns from some institutional investors, though, about the impact on things like marketing and design teams in the United States. We're staying with Tesla, and a recent study by Consumer Reports revealed that Tesla has the lowest maintenance and repair costs compared to other major auto brands, attributing this to the fewer moving parts in electric vehicles. The 2023 annual auto survey, based on data from thousands of car owners in the US, confirmed Tesla's position with the lowest maintenance cost over the first 5 years and first 10 years of ownership. Now, that might be a surprise to some people who have either got very high insurance quotes, and that being attributed to the high cost of replacing Tesla parts, also the Tesla parts shortage, which affects some parts of the world more than others, and also the general expense in repairing, how it's just cheaper to write off a Tesla and send it to the scrapyard than try and replace it. And so that will be a surprise to many people that this report says that has the lowest maintenance and repair costs. Of course, Tesla doesn't have an annual maintenance program to take it back to the dealer to have its, I don't know, whatever's checked. My EVs do. My MG goes back to MG once a year. It's expensive and they don't do anything. I mean, they sent me a little video of being like, here's your car. Check the washer fluid. Thanks a lot for that. But I guess it's important to keep that up for the stamps in the book and all that kind of stuff when I sell it on. But still, well, this data highlights Tesla's unique approach to not mandating expensive maintenance programs that are common with other brands. And that is largely down to why they have come out lowest in this particular report. Right, finally, congratulations to Tesla. Congratulations to the Tesla China team and all of Tesla's team who've done business with China, because Tesla is celebrating a decade in China today. 1.7 million local owners, initially delivering the Model S back in the day in 2014. Tesla now serves a vast amount of customers in China and elsewhere, because China is the export hub for that business. China accounts for over 20 million new energy vehicle owners. And the Shanghai factory, operating since 2019, marks Tesla's first wholly owned foreign auto manufacturing project, Giga Shanghai, or whatever we used to call it, but now Giga Shanghai, achieved a milestone with its 1 millionth vehicle made in August 2022, its 2 millionth in September 2023, and Tesla models are very popular in China. It's not in Model Y is the car that they all want, but it's not just about the Model Y. Model 3 is, of course, made there as well, S and X being imported. Recent price cuts across the model range in China for all of them, S3, X and Y, are all about trying to stay competitive in the market. Well, Shanghai's factory currently boasts an annual production capacity of 950,000 vehicles a year, the largest globally, according to their recent financial reports. That's your podcast for today. Thank you for listening. Thank you, as always, for your support, our Patreon legends. And you can check out the legends list online right now at evnewsdaily.com, my little website. That's not very good, but I put all the names on there every day as a thank you. And I say thank you to our premium partners once a day, because I'm hugely grateful to those businesses and individuals. Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Island YouTube channel. Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. And Lease Plan Electric Moments, providing all the tools and guidance EV drivers need. Have a good one tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.